Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. The news that today in the Parliament of the United Kingdom, a bill is passed which only affects mid-Britain, says that doctors will be able to help people commit suicide, or as they say, perhaps euphemistically, end their own lives, but it's only if they got an incurable disease. So the Terminally Ill Adults Bill, remember, has to be passed thrice by the House of Commons, thrice by the House of Lords, and then His Britannic Majesty will sign it into law. The bill will become an act. Or indeed, should the House of Lords block it, then if the times become a law after a delay of 1 year. Now, the House of Lords won't oppose anything that was in the manifesto. That's according to the Salisbury Convention, named after Marcus of Salisbury in the late 1940s. Who said that the hugely conservative-dominated upper house wouldn't be blocking things from the lower house if they're in the manifesto? This wasn't the manifesto. It's not a partisan issue. So parties don't have lines in this one. It's a matter of conscience. That's the way they perceive it. So they go on. So it was passed by a fairly narrow majority, 314 votes to 291, and so on. It was passed by a larger majority in November. So some would have changed their minds. And more of them towards the opposition side. Now, viewers of my channel may know that I'm pro-life as much as I wish to defend children. This one, this talk about being pro-choice, this really is a choice because this is grown-ups deciding for themselves. They're not imposing this on someone else. And so long as it's only for people who are over 18, so long as only those who are compos mentis and are dying anyway. Now, there's no law against suicide. There's a law against helping people commit suicide or inciting it or anything like that, but this is helping those people because for some of them they can't inject themselves with the deadly poison. They cannot pop a pill in their mouth. In some cases, they might be paralyzed or whatever. So now the physicians or perhaps others won't be prosecuted for assisting someone who does so. And I don't know the particulars of it. You know, the devil is in the detail. You want to see the fine print because the model I would lay out, if someone has to be diagnosed with a terminal illness, has to be confirmed by the other. Trouble is, what's terminal, life's a terminal condition? And the other one is would have to be confirmed by sort of two or more doctors or something like this, and has to say it several times over a period of a few months, say it out loud, write documents, be witness to many people, take him or her away from relatives to make sure the person's not being coerced into doing so, and so on. So similar legislation has been on the statute book in the Netherlands, in Switzerland, in Belgium, in several states in the United States, perhaps other jurisdictions, since the 1970s in some cases. And I don't think the results have been horrific, although the number of people who've chosen to terminate their own lives with help from others has gone on up and up in the Netherlands. That's partly because it's been destigmatized. Moreover, people are living longer. So when people sort of in the 1970s often dying in their 70s, these days often dying in their 90s, are much frailer and so on. So it's over 1% of deaths in the Netherlands are from this. Former Prime Minister of the Netherlands, he and his wife committed suicide with medical assistance. There was one horrific case of, well, hate to be, how to put it, superficial, a very nubile woman, age 26, and she had incurable depression, and she committed suicide a year ago in the Netherlands. So, no, how can you do that? Physically fit as a fiddle, but just psychiatric problems that wouldn't go away. And she had parents who loved her. She had a sister. She had a boyfriend. She had a cat. She had some education behind her. She had so much to live for. She lived in a magnificent country. I thought, no, how can you do this? And that sort of worries me. And I thought, well, maybe I wouldn't allow it in this case. The trouble is, you don't allow that. She might jump in front of a bus or throw herself into a canal and kill herself in a way that's a danger to others, or maybe traumatizes people, and so on. So goodness. Anyway, so the House of Lords might vote for or against, but it thought to be at least 2029 before it actually comes into effect. Usually things don't come into effect the day that they are passed. So anyway, the Prime Minister cast his ballot in favour. Now, the leader of His Majesty's most loyal opposition, Kim Badenoch, she voted against. I say ballot, then actually it's ballot papers. They process out various lobbies. Now, the Health and Social Care Secretary, Wes Streeting, he voted against, and so on. So Kim Leadbeater, who's a Labour MP who's behind it, is elated this is happening, and so on. So Kim Leadbeater is the sister of Joe Cox, who was killed by some loony during the Brexit referendum, and so on. Right, and so it goes on. So I mean, Conservatives were more likely to be against, much more likely to be against. Labour fairly narrowly in favour. Liberal Democrats heavily in favour. And the other parties, I mean, are mostly against and so on. There were obviously some people who didn't vote. Now, even though this is only for England and Wales, nevertheless, MPs from out the United Kingdom are allowed to vote in it. So the West Lothian question is back on the agenda. That was Tam Dalyell, the Labour MP for West Lothian from the 70s till about 2001. And he was always saying, how come I, who sits for West Lothian, who would be allowed to vote for England only matters, whereas someone representing an English constituency would not be able to vote for Scots only matters. Now that was addressed with the English Votes for English laws under the Conservative government of Cameron, but that was reversed later on. I'm not quite sure why. So it's illogical and unjust. Anyway, so yeah, it looks like they're going to get the votes through, and this will get onto the statute book. So yeah, I don't know the granularity of it, but I'm broadly in favour. So you know, whose life is it anyway, as they say. Now Dame Esther Ranson used to present That's Life and so on in the 80s. She says that she's four square behind it. She's suffering a terminally ill condition and wants to have medical help if needs be. So, but there's nothing to stop people at the moment flying to Switzerland at the Dignitas clinic and so on. They haven't explained exactly how that happens. I've read about what happens in California, where the doctor will come to the person's house and he or she will give the person some sort of deadly poison to drink, and the person just like slowly passes away. It's a painful, anyway, not keen on death. And I remember reading this doctor encourages the person to think of walking through a vast field of flowers or something like that. Person just doesn't die like that. How do you make sure it doesn't fall into the wrong hands? That it's not given to somebody else? Is there an antidote if someone changes his or her mind after a few minutes? These are questions I would like to know. Maybe it's two different chemicals which only become fatal when mixed together. So people could do it abroad, but all right, why not be allowed to do it in the United Kingdom? I'm not sure if North Britain or Northern Ireland are going to follow suit. So what do you think? I mean, the danger is the people who are not that ill will start taking it, and how mentally sound do you have to be to really have sound mind? And people might start taking with illnesses that are not very serious, and more and more and more. Now, the cynics might say this is just to save money because you don't have to pay for pensions and healthcare for elderly people, and that will bring that cost down to begin with. Yeah, so people can commit suicide anyway. But surviving suicide to the 60s was a crime. And in Hungary in the Middle Ages, attempting suicide was punishable by death, perhaps illogically. There was no punishment for obviously committing it successfully because of what could be done. Remember, it's because of the worst crime, buried on unconsecrated ground, taking God's gift of life and throwing it back in his face, and so on. So, well, I mean, not a cheerful topic, but memento mori, enjoy yourself whilst you can.